Good evening. You all set? Nadia? Ready? Good evening. My name is Mark Laredo. I am a counselor at large from Ward 7. I am the chair of the Land Use Committee. This is a continuation of a Land Use Committee meeting that began at approximately 5:30 this evening. We met next door to discuss our land use processes. It was something that is near and dear to our hearts, maybe not as near and dear to those of you who are here this evening for your regular petitions, but actually very important as we discuss and continue to discuss means by which we can streamline and improve the process, both for us internally, but far more importantly for the citizens of the city, so that they can go through these processes more efficiently and more effectively. With that, I'm just going to take a moment to introduce my colleagues, then go over our protocol for the evening. We're going to get to it right away. We are being audio-taped, just so everyone's aware of that. To my immediate left is Councilor Deb Crosley, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 5. Across and in front of me is Councilor Jake Auchincloss, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 2. Next to Councilor Auchincloss is Councilor Rick Lipoff, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 8. And behind them is Councilor Greg Schwartz, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 6, and Vice Chair of the Committee. We are 5 of the 8 members of the Land Use Committee. I believe that our President, Scott Lennon, will not be joining us this evening. I know that Councilor Cody is on his way, and Councilor Harney is in the building, but I believe attending some other meeting, at least for a period of time. We have 3 members of our city staff with us, Rita Young from the Legal Department, Michael Gruber from the Planning Department, and Nadia Khan, our committee clerk. Our protocol for these proceedings is very straightforward. I call the petition. If you are the petitioner, you come up to the podium, you state your name, you state your address, and you give us a brief presentation of your project. Some of these projects, especially the planning department says, looks great, see no problem at all, are what we call fairly routine projects. You certainly are welcome to provide us any and all information you want, but do remember that we have your special permit application already, we have memoranda from the planning department, we have a zoning review, we have maps and plans, we do our homework in this committee, so you should assume a fair amount of familiarity with your project. And frankly, as the saying goes, sometimes less is better. Once the petitioner finishes his or her presentation, we'll have a brief presentation from the planning department as to the particular project and the criteria we should look at. I'm then going to open it up to any member of the public who wishes to speak. Any member of the public is welcome to speak on any project whatsoever. The rules are very simple. You come up to the podium, you state your name and address, and I ask you to keep your remarks to 3 minutes or so in the interest of trying to move along. Then we'll take comments and questions from members of the committee. And finally, if this project is right for approval this evening, or a vote, I should say, we will close the public hearing and take a vote on the project. If it is approved or acted upon here, it will then be taken up at the next full board meeting, which is November 7th. At that time, there is no opportunity for members of the public to speak or present. It is voted on by the full city council at that point in time. And if you have any questions about our process as we finish up this evening, please feel free to contact our committee clerk, Nadia Khan. She'll be happy to explain the process or answer any questions you have about process. So with all that said, and our firm goal of being done no later than 10 o'clock, and I hope earlier this evening, we're going to start with 263-16, special permit for a rear lot subdivision at 100 Christina Street, Irene Ostrowski. This is at Ward 8, Newton Highlands. Good evening, Mr. Attorney Morris. I'll remind my colleagues, we had this matter before us a couple of weeks ago. And since then, Attorney Morris, I know, has had an opportunity to do a fair amount of additional work. Why don't you tell us what's changed or you've had an opportunity to do, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the committee, for the record.
I'll take the president title any day of the week. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with Office of the 57 Elm Road, Newton. and I'm here representing the petitioners Irene Ostrovsky and Eugene Krasinski, owners of the subject lot. We've had the opportunity to review the planning department memo since our last meeting, and I think it more than adequately addresses the concerns that were raised. We would point out two things. One is that we did, in fact, make those changes that were requested by the city engineer to the drainage plan. And equally important, if not more so, we did, my clients did a number of outreach to the abutters, direct abutters, both collectively and individually. As the planning department reports, we had a meeting on October 15th at which all the abutters were invited, and then in addition to that was individual outreach by personal contact and by email. I think, Mr. Chairman, there's not really much more that we can add. I think we reserve any comments we may have for times when if the committees would have questions.
Thank you, Attorney Morris. Mr. Gleba?
Any changes since. I can just about the presentation we have. There's mostly like the 1 year previously seen. Just to remind you, to request a relief or the special permit to allow the subdivision of a rear lot. Criteria to consider includes what's shown on the screen, whether the site is in a proper location for this, whether it will adversely affect the neighborhood, whether there will be a hazard or nuisance to vehicles or pedestrians, and whether access is appropriate. Since this is rear lot, there are some additional criteria, including whether the proposed buildings exceed the respective average height, whether the scale is appropriate. You should consider topographical differentials, and importantly, the proposed landscaping. Vehicle access, historic and conservation public benefits. You have to consider the abutting residential buildings and any effect of lighting. As we've seen in the previous presentations, just the context, the yellow lot is the site from which location in the neighborhood. Turn it down. Some of the land uses correspond with the non-residential uses to the north and west. The cycling has had various changes since application. One is the rear lot line, which as you can see here, formerly took a bend that has been straightened out by the petitioner. And more recently, the location of some infrastructure units has been shifted as per the recommendation of the city engineer. Basically, we have a plan. They were previously concentrated in the driveway. If you have never moved to a different location further into the lot, as per the city engineer. Landscaping is important in this project. We need to see the moon open in a bubble and surface and soon. As you can see, the landscape plan is rather dense. So a significant amount of trees and other kind of plantings. This is the photo, the existing structure. This is the driveway. What you see here is the current attached garage. The general location of the proposed rear building is behind and to the left of that. There will be opening a new structure to the left of the existing structure you see in the upper left hand corner. This is the rear lot, the location of the proposed house. This shows some of the existing frames and screening on the right or left side of the property. And this represents the different elevations, the proposed sunlight, and as well as the rear lot. When it comes to landscaping, we consider it as a final landscape plan contingent upon approval by the planning department pull a building permit.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kluger. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Anyone at all? Come on up, please, ma'am.
Hi, good evening. My name is Regina O'Neill, and I live at 136 Charlemont Street, which is directly behind the property that Irene and Eugene are going to be building on. And we are one of the people to whom we've had some great interaction around a couple of open items that we have right now. Unfortunately, both my husband, David, and I have been traveling. We were unable to attend the neighborhood meeting, and we've had some good email conversation. Right now, we're trying to get a couple of items resolved so that we better understand what's going to be happening. One is the lot lines themselves, just in terms of understanding exactly where the lot lines are. We'd love to have the lot lines marked and the cornerscapes. And then the second is a fence and the greenery of the fence. We've had some terrific interactions with our new neighbors-to-be, and they've worked with their landscape architect to try to answer some of our questions. We're still in the process of figuring that out, and so as of right now, I don't know where we are, so we're just hoping to get that resolved so that we can understand that it's a fence that's visually appealing to us as well as to them, given that we are literally going to be looking at one another, and so the fence is what we're looking for both aesthetics and privacy.
So let me ask this to Attorney Morris. We don't often do this, but you have one neighbor here. I'm just wondering if it makes sense for us to hold this item for maybe 20 minutes or half an hour, give you an opportunity to chat with the O'Neills, and see if you could then kind of come back and report to us so that we can try to vote this out this evening. Is that something that's acceptable? If not, tell me. I'm just offering it as an idea.
Of course.
I just consulted with my clients. They said they would be willing to do that.
Is that acceptable to my colleagues? It looks like these folks just haven't had a chance to speak. I do not want to see this petition come back here again if we can get it done tonight. What is this, Ms. Morris? Do you have anything else on this evening?
Attorney Morris? No, Mr. Chairman.
Why don't we do this? If we can just hold this for a few minutes, step outside, chat as long as you need, come back in and report to us where you are. I'll resume our hearing on your petition at that time or as soon as we're done with the petition we're hearing, and we'll try to move it along expeditiously.
We appreciate that courtesy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So next, I'm going to take up 311-16. There's a special permit petition to exceed the FAR at 235 Woodcliff Road. Carrie and Suzanne Robbins, this is in Ward 8, Newton Highlands, to go from FAR of 2.60 where 0.49 is allowed by right. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Steve Riley with SLR Architecture of 28 Woodbine Terrace in Newton, representing my client, Carrie and Suzanne Robbins. I do have a presentation. Can I give that to you, Nadia? Just a few slides. This is brief, I promise you.
Helpful, thank you.
Go ahead. My clients are. I get a remote. Okay. My clients are attempting to build a new addition that includes a garage and a family room. Do I get to hit this? Oh, did you do that or did I? So this is the existing condition that they have. Part of the impetus to do this project is their parking situation and their access to their garage currently is very difficult. They have a below-grade garage. The snowstorm of 2015 really pushed them to come up with a better solution for parking and garage access. This is a photo of the front of the house. The proposal would be moving the driveway access further to the left, covering the existing garage as a foundation, and having more front lawn. Oh, I guess it's working now. This is just a view of the back where the garage is going to be. It's going to be a rear garage. My client has raised their family here for 25 years. We're looking for more FAR because when they were raising their family, there's an attic playroom that ironically is now storage. They're looking forward to their college-age children coming back with their children in the coming years and looking for more space to entertain family at that family room. This is a view of the back of the proposed addition, the driveway area, and the new addition. And this is just the approach going into the driveway. What Nadia has passed out is an updated civil engineering plan. We got word from the Conservation Commission that they wanted an additional change, which we were able to do in short order to address the concern on the wetlands that's at the very back corner of the property. So we amended that plan and brought it with us this evening, just so that you can understand we're trying to address those concerns. And there's just a couple of elevations and plans in here, which Michael probably has as well. That's all I had today.
Great, thank you. Mr. Cleaver?
All right. I think I will end up with taking some of this in three, because there's been some time to release. The petition is a special permit to see the national floor area ratio. When reviewing this, the council should consider
whether the proposed increase in FAR from 0.47 to 0.60, where 0.49 is allowed, is consistent with and not in derogation of the size, scale, design of other structures in the neighborhood.
So some context, when the subject property is in yellow, it is on Brookfield Road, in the neighborhood of single family homes, countrywide elementary, sorry, countrywide is black to the west. Current zoning, it is consistently SR3, it's from SR2 to the southeast. Again, the land is consistently single family homes, with the exception being countryside elementary. This is an existing platform from the existing house. It is called the driveway. Right here, which is the close of the proposed project. The proposed site, and we have more detail on the next slide, so I'll just go to that. Here you can see the proposed addition in poor housing to the rear of the home. This should be the floor plan that was just handed out. Again, some envision the proposed conditions. This time with some color. One new difference is in the back left corner. This is on the Conservation Commission for jurisdiction. No work where the car back there. The driver was pulled back out of that area. This here. And the retaining of the wall, the retaining wall, as you have seen in the previous presentation, along the back of that line, is no longer proposed. And you'll see that the elevation of the facility, again, showing the proposed addition in color, and you will show how it is built, somewhat into the walls of the backyard. Some perspectives. The one on the right is from the property directly to the right. Surface, which is the surface of the basement in the first floor, with the garage being this area here, and living space above. I believe a great room. Some different photos and different front to side. From the grade of the driveway. This is the backyard. This is the location of the addition. Side property line to the right or north. And that's all we have.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Come on up, sir, please.
Good evening. My name is Ajaz Baloch, and we live at 229 Woodcliff, which is the next door to the north. And Robins, and we have been neighbors for more than 18 years, deep. And Robins has been excellent neighbors, very good neighbors, and we strongly recommend the project. Thank you.
Good, thank you. We appreciate the positive comments. Anybody else who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing, moved by Councilor Lipoff. All in favor of closing the public hearing? I've got 5 in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Any questions or comments from my colleagues on this? Councilor Schwartz?
So, I'm struck, well, there's a couple questions, I guess, first, and then I just want to make a comment. So, is the petitioner here? Okay.
Yeah.
So, the primary purpose of this, you said, was to try to get the cars out of that front slope driveway, right?
That would be one of the primary purposes. Also, with visiting children, there's no driveway. There's really no street parking on the street. It's too narrow on the street. So, the driveway would allow a little bit more guest parking as well.
Because I'm struck by just how much more asphalt there is with this project. Obviously, you're still not over the pervious, rule, but you're definitely taking away a lot of permeable area. Did you try, especially with that place where you're turning into the garages in the back that takes up a lot of space, and obviously there's a lot of asphalt there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you consider alternative designs that had the garage perhaps set back on that side, but not so far to the right, so you didn't have to make a turn? Did you consider having a straight-in kind of garage at the back of a longer driveway?
Well, we have some setback issues along that edge, so it would be a difficult plan to execute. Also, one of the moves that we did make to try to lessen the areas of asphalt was to kind of turn the garage, so we didn't need quite as wide of a turning radius in the driveway. And while we will be increasing the amount of impervious area on the lot, we are filling in the existing driveway with landscape materials and lawn. So you know, it's not quite as bad as it seems.
Okay, and as far as that, you mentioned that there's a setback issue. So how far off the lot line is the new driveway to the left?
How far is the driveway off the lot line? 3 or 4 feet. There's a small retaining wall just to contain the asphalt at about 3 feet.
And is that neighbor's not here tonight, right? The neighbor that just spoke was to the north, not to the south?
That's correct.
I think that she's waving.
Okay.
Oh, would you like to speak with her?
I just want to make sure that everybody's represented. So the curb cut that is currently in front of that will be moved over, I take it?
Yeah, slightly.
Okay. So you'll close part of that curb cut
that's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And then finally, so then this particular addition, it looks like there's a balcony on it facing that neighbor to the south?
South, yeah. That is the south side.
What's the thinking on the balcony, and have you talked to that neighbor about potential privacy issues?
Well, the thinking with the balcony is they had an existing deck that got heavy use. They wanted to replace that with something else so that they could have some access to the exterior, and that seemed like the only solution that would work on the site. That would provide access to sun and light in the exterior. I don't know if my client had a conversation with the neighbor about that particular feature, but she's here, so.
Okay. And then finally, I'm just curious, so what you're actually asking for is an FAR relief. So you're currently pretty much at the upper limit of the current FAR requirement. So did you look at something, I mean, this is a pretty significant increase to 0.6. Were you looking at alternatives that were smaller than that, or what brought you to the 0.6?
They really wanted to have a two-car garage in that location and a large family room above it. We did try to push it as far back, and the angling also allowed us to cut the square footage down slightly, but that's basically the recommended size of a two-car garage.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? I'll add it. Go ahead, Councilor Paul.
The half of this new FAR is in the basement level.
That's correct.
And 100% of it is not visible from the street.
Correct.
That's correct.
And lot coverage, you're still fine with?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I actually was going to add that I appreciate what my colleague, Councilor Schwartz, has said, but I view this as, from what I gather, a site with some serious constraints in terms of what you can do. A laudable goal of getting, we've talked about front-facing garages, and here we actually have someone taking a garage and putting it to the back of the house where it's not visible from the street.
At a considerable expense.
I'm sure at a considerable expense. Admittedly, there's more impervious surface, which we always have a concern about, but it seems to me those are balancing acts. We've been joined with Councillor Jim Cote, a Councillor at Large from Ward 3 and a member of the committee. Do I have a motion? Do I have any more comments, Councillor Schwartz?
I think that the comments about garages in the rear are certainly relevant and can be made, but the other point about putting it in the rear is that it does take away from the, if you look at the map, the houses that are to the sides of this particular house share kind of a mm-hmm. sight line along that back, and this will certainly interfere with that. It's also somewhat visible from the street behind it, so there will be, it's not entirely hidden.
Fair observation. Okay. Do we have any more comment? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve? Right. I have a motion to approve. Do I have a draft board order, Mr. Kleber?
Okay.
All right. So we don't have to read it out loud. We can all read the first paragraph to ourselves. So we have a statement, as we talked about a little while ago, we have a statement of the relief sought, and then a statement of reasons why it is not in derogation, which is all the relevant dimensional requirements, limited visibility, and it's on a downward sloping site. Any questions or comments on the first finding? I see none on the second one. I think that covers the second point. Any questions there? Yes, Councilor Crosley?
I just want to know, why is it relevant to say that the two-car basement level garage will eliminate the need for the garage door on the front facade? I mean, that's just a really typical, iconic building with a garage in the front. I just hope what we're not doing is saying that that's a bad design and we're replacing a bad design with a good design.
Fair enough.
To me, that's not a reason.
So would you prefer to take that out as a finding? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I would, yeah.
Counselor, okay. Fine. So why don't Mr. Gribble remove that as a finding? Great point. Thank you. Conditions. Any other findings, Mr. Gruber?
Nope.
Okay. Conditions? Okay. This is number three, conservation. Something's lost there.
Yeah, it's a little bit of what happened here. The definition is for conservation commission. That's the thing that no work can be done in that back corner that is on the conservation commission. So especially which we discussed by the...
I think the language on the screen, there's some typos on
the... So this is Conra, that's a citizen commission.
Okay. I trust you'll fix number three so it reads properly. Sure.
Since this is a single family home, number four, that's a tree ordinance, should be removed.
Okay, you'll take that out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else here? These are really standard conditions, correct?
Because there is some rock outcroppings, there is a blasting provision.
Okay.
And, it's not in the package you received on Friday. We also added that a condition under number six that the curb cut that's been closed will be removed before they get a C above.
Okay. Fair enough. Any other questions, Councilor Crosley?
Thank you. We don't have an ordinance pertaining to this, but blasting isn't the only way to get rid of ledge, and in fact, it's rarely used. It might
exactly.
Be jackhammering. Could we still have a notice to abutters? Because that's a really hugely disturbing process if they need to engage in it.
We have an ordinance?
We don't have an ordinance. We can make a condition that...
Why don't we make a condition that if there's any kind of ledge removal, would that be a fair statement?
Sure.
Okay. Some kind of ledge removal, there'll be provided ample notice to the neighbors?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I trust that won't be an issue if you're going to have to do it. Okay. Anything else in the conditions? All right. Seeing none, all in favor of approval? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 in favor, none opposed. It's approved. Good luck with the project. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next, I don't see Mr. Morris here yet, so we're going to go on to number 3. This is 312-16, special permit petition to establish an accessory apartment, 74 Wobbin Street, Joe Roman, Brown Dog Properties, LLC, 74 Wobbin Street, Ward 1. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. Sorry. I'm Joe Roman with Brown Dog Properties. Thank you all for hearing us tonight. This is my brother, Matt Roman, part of the company. And just to keep it short and sweet, because I know you guys have all read our packets and have the packets, we've been working on a historically recognized building on Wobbin Street, and if you're familiar with that area, there's a good mix of properties over there, many of them historic in nature, so we've been diligently working to stick with the neighborhood with a focus on preservation. Since we began and since this petition, we've been working closely with the neighbors as well. We held a neighborhood meeting last week. It was an open invitation to which we dropped invitations in all of the neighbors in the surrounding area and opened up the property to have a forum with us to discuss this petition in particular, as well as the project in general, and we've had ongoing conversations. And then finally, I just wanted to mention, which I know you had added to your packets, we have presented a letter of support from some of those neighbors. I believe there's 12 in total, including a couple that had sought us out after the meeting because they wanted to express their support for it. So I just want to make sure that was kind of noted. as well as a landscape plan that sort of focused on the parking area, which is in question with this petition. So,
good. And Ms. Khan, that petition with the 12 neighbors, that was provided to us by email, I believe, today? Okay.
We have hard copies as well, if that would be preferred by anybody.
Certainly for our committee clerk, she ought to have them for the record. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Gleba, you want to give the overview for us?
Yes. Okay, so it is a special permit to establish an accessory apartment as a third unit in a two-family dwelling, as well as construct two parking spaces within 5 feet of the street. So the request of the relief is to do those two things, create an accessory apartment and construct two schools. Criteria to consider, should the accessory apartment, whether this is an appropriate location in an MR1 district, whether the apartment will adversely affect the neighborhood, whether it will create a nuisance or serious hazard to vehicles and pedestrians, whether access to the street is appropriate for the types and number of vehicles involved. And as for the parking spaces, there's a minimum compliance with the requirement that no parking spaces be located within 5 feet of the street is enforceable, though, due to the nature and use of use, location, size, breadth, shape, or grade of the lot, or the such exceptions within the public interest, and the interest of safety, or the protection of environmental species. Some context in area map, Robin Street is the street directly to the north of the subject property, which is in Yale. Surrounded mostly by single-family homes, and the old Aquinas College to the west, being used as a Jackson School. Current zoning has been showing mostly for residential use, MR1 to the west of Jewett Street, and MR2 to the east. Lowly showing the pretty consistent and residential use of the neighborhood. This is the proposed site plan showing the existing structure, which has now been expanded for the purpose of constructing the accessory unit. And the same thing location. The accessory apartment is located mostly in the rear of these dwellings, in the basement and the first floor. And the two proposed parking spaces are on the front left of the property. These are some elevations of the home, front and rear, left and right. Are there some windows that are being closed on the elevation, and are there some elevators being opened for the accessory unit? And some photos. The property has been under renovation for a while. This is in current conditions. This shows the location of the proposed parking, which would go right here, going to the front left of the property, just to the right of the traffic cones. And the picture from context. This shows the rear yard, again, the general location of the accessory apartment. And this is just the front of the property looking, from west to east. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman, why don't you just grab a seat for a moment? Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, I'm sorry. Come on up, please, sir. Forgive me. Good evening.
Hi. My name is Greg Best. I live at 74 Walnut Park, which would be on the street behind the property. I guess I'm the only one that's in the minority on this, but my concern with granting the special permit is what that means for other development, you know, in our neighborhood going down the road, because we have a lot of other properties where this could come into play. And whenever I see accessory apartment, to me it means instead of two units, I want a three family, which from a financial impact means a lot to a developer. If my understanding is correct, typically with an accessory apartment, it's usually granted in situations where there's like hardship. And I'm not seeing that in this situation. I was out of town last week, so I couldn't go to the open house. But you know, the developer is doing a good job renovating the property. It's just we've got a ton of construction going on in our neighborhood, and it's just like they're trying to cram as much as they can on these lots. So it's just a concern of mine going forward that, you know, if we grant it in this situation, everybody else in the neighborhood is going to want it too. And I have a situation right next to me where that could come into play down the road. So okay. That's my concern.
Thank you very much, sir. You may want to follow. There's some debate going on in our Zoning and Planning Committee right now about whether to allow more accessory apartments by right or not. So suggest if you're interested in that issue more generally, you may want to be aware of that. Can I ask the developers a question? Gentlemen, if you could just come up quickly, please. So, was there an existing accessory apartment in this property?
So, this property was used as a three-family for over 60 years. So, there's been, you know, that's a use. We could have gone to the board and asked to seek a variance for three units. We thought this would be a good sort of middle point. We didn't expand on the building at all. We didn't bump out. We preserved the building, and this is a way to say, look, as a developer, for us to make this a viable project, we, you know, this helps what we're trying to do.
So just so I understand the history, this was built as a two-family that at some point in the distant past, somebody essentially added a unit there and used it as a three-family for lots of years.
House was built in the 1850s as a single family.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was converted many years ago to a two, and then used as an illegal three family for the last 65 years.
Got it. Okay. It's helpful to provide some context, gentlemen, and perhaps when we craft our board order here, we may want to think about how we incorporate those circumstances in to try to address other concerns that folks have about proliferation of different types of multi-units.
Understood.
Not going to affect you at all.
I understand. I don't think we're necessarily setting precedent where this has been used as a three-family for so long.
That's why I wanted to get that on the table, because that was my understanding. Thank you, gentlemen. Let me just hold on for a second. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to be heard? All right. Seeing none, do you want to be heard? No? Okay. Seeing none, I'm not going to close the public hearing quite yet, but Councilor Schwartz, go ahead.
Just following up on the question that was raised by the neighbor as well as the conversation so far. So my understanding of the accessory apartment is that the one of the two other units has to be occupied by the owner, and then the accessory is to that unit. So, but this is a development, so there's nobody living in the house now?
Correct. The house is vacant as it's under a full restoration.
So your plan is to market it as two units, one of which can have an accessory apartment with it? Is that the idea?
Yes. Yeah, so really what's a little bit funny is it's built. You have, by right, you can have a second kitchen. You can have a bedroom. So essentially, you have a separate entrance. You have parking. We have separate entrances for it, which is all by right. So essentially, what we're asking to do is put up a six-foot wall on one floor, separating the middle unit to what would become the in-law unit.
Accessory.
It would become the accessory unit. So by doing so, the person that lived in the front, that lived in the middle unit, could, you know, legally rent it out and or simply put their family back there, but have it completely separate with that wall.
Right. Okay. I mean, I understand the concept. I guess what I was just trying to understand was in the past when we've approved these, there's usually somebody already there who needs the accessory for their current needs, but there's nobody there right now. You're kind of going to market it that way. Is that right?
Yeah, and Councilor Schwartz, just to address that, I mean, we've done a decent amount of homes around Newton, and we're hearing an increasing need and ask for first floor bedrooms, extended living. You know, as people are looking, you know, as prices go up, people are looking for options for multi-generational living. And that's really what we saw as that benefit to the end user here, was a multi-generational living situation. So we've actually already been talking to some people who are interested in the property, and that would be their intention.
And then just separately, if you don't mind, so you mentioned that it's been used for many years as a three-family. Where was the parking for those three dwelling units found or located before?
So there was an existing two-car garage at the end of the driveway that was removed and put a three-car. So it's parking there, and then as well in front of the existing garage in the driveway in tandem. So
in the past, it was tandem parking in that front setback. There was one in the setback and then one...
No, there was not anything in the front setback previously.
Oh.
So there's an existing driveway on the right, and that's where they would have parked previously. So
what kind of capacity, though? Would that have been four or five?
You probably could have... four or five cars there.
But you don't want to continue that? Because I know the part of the relief that you're requesting is to be able to park within 5 feet.
Right.
On
so
that
we're,
left side.
And the reason for that is, I mean, we could slide the parking back, so the current proposed plan would show 19 feet in depth. We could meet that setback requirement and put a 24-foot deep parking, but I think that's, you know, talking to the neighbors, they said, well, let's, you know, we understand why you want to do parking there because of the way the front unit is. Otherwise, you park in the rear, and it's a fairly long walk all the way around into the front unit. But one thing, some feedback from the neighbors is we're not going to do it in asphalt. We're going to do a cobblestone apron, cobblestone border, and then a P-stone, just to sort of stick with the historic look of the house. And there's lots of granite, and the front stairs and things like that are incorporated. Essentially, by getting the relief on this, we're actually making a smaller driveway. Otherwise, we just simply slide the driveway closer to the house, and instead of being 19 feet deep, it's essentially 24 feet deep.
All set?
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else? Councilor Crosley?
Thank you. I want to just make a comment that I won't. It really doesn't have to do with you, and then I do want to talk about the accessory unit in a building that I think is going to be two condominiums.
If the comment doesn't have to do with this petition, can we hold it?
Oh, no, it has to do with this petition.
Oh, okay.
I would just like everyone to notice that the request for parking spaces off the street are, they're asking for the 5-foot waiver, but they're not asking for the 5-foot waiver and a waiver of the size of the parking area. It's the full size, 9 by 19.
Okay.
Because we have a petition later that it will, it's related, I think. Anyway, I'm curious, and the law could maybe speak to this. I have seen homes sold with accessory apartments, single-family homes normally. I don't know that I've ever witnessed someone coming in and asking for an accessory apartment for a two-family that's going to become a condominium, and one of which will have an accessory apartment that goes along with the deed. And my question is not, should we do that? My question really is, how does that work to the law department? And, you know, is that... Because we have we do have an ordinance that says you cannot... You can't separate the owner's unit and the accessory unit and sell them as condominiums. May not happen. This is unusual. So I'm just wondering if law could speak to it, please.
It has happened before, and Jason Rosenberg was the attorney who represented that particular petitioner, and it's exactly what is being represented, which is the accessory apartment is attached to one of the condo units. And in that condo unit with the accessory apartment, an owner has to live.
Okay. We've been joined by Councillor Harney, Jay Harney, Ward Councillor from Ward 4. Any other questions or comments? Did I close the public hearing yet? I need a motion to close the public hearing. It's in Ward 1. Will someone accommodate me? You got the jump, Councillor Clasley. Motion to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 1. Councillor 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion? Any further comments by anybody or questions? Do I have a motion to act on this petition? Motion to approve? All right. I have a motion to approve. Mr. Gleeber, do I have a... You gentlemen can sit down if you'd like.
Thank you.
Do I have findings here?
Yes, we do. We are up on screen now.
Let's just, this is our custom, we'll read them to ourselves, and one at a time we'll make sure we go through it. So the first one says it's not going to increase the size of the structure. Is that fair finding for everybody? Okay. Next. Okay, and I think the third talks about that third unit, which has been previously there. That work for everybody? Questions? Yes, Councilor Schwartz?
I understand the thinking behind 3, but I'm just a little bit curious. I thought in the past the issue with curb cuts was that they actually are dangerous for pedestrians, the wider the curb cut is. This seems to imply that ample curb cuts is a good thing because it provides adequate sight lines. Seems to be contradictory to a
previous... Would you say curb cuts sufficient to provide for adequate for sight lines?
I mean, I would think actually it would work the other way, that we would be trying to make the finding, if we support this, that there would be no nuisance or serious hazard to vehicles, pedestrians, as the properties, two driveways, will have adequate sight lines. I mean, I don't see where the curb cuts actually help pedestrians. I think that actually hurts pedestrians.
So you...
One of the arguments against two driveways for a property is that there's too many curb cuts for the pedestrians.
It's not going to be a serious hazard because the sight lines, and I think it should be S-I-G-H-T, not S-I-T-E, the sight lines for drivers and pedestrians will be maybe adequate is a poor choice of words, but appropriate. Does that work? But we'll take out the ample curb cuts for the reasons Councilor Schwartz and Crosley suggest. That work for everybody? Okay. All right. Mr. Gleeber?
Sure. The two there, we get to the parking stalls. Are we requesting two or one? I thought it was two. But what does it say on there? It says that the...
They have to have one additional stall for the accessory.
So that's okay. That's supported.
They have two for each two family and one for the accessory.
And that's what the one counts for. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Other findings, Mr. Gleeber?
Can I ask a question of planning?
Please.
I'm sorry, I wasn't clear on this. Just on the site plan that was handed out tonight, there's two things. There's on the existing driveway, it's listed as 19.6 wide, and then there's a overlay, it looks like, of a narrower driveway that's curved slightly. Is that
so the 19.6 is the site plan. It's a difference from the property line to the dwelling.
Okay.
The driveway itself is a curved path.
Okay, it's not going to be the 19.6. Got it, okay.
I'm sorry. Are we all set? Okay. All right, any other comments on 4? On 5, on 6. Okay, we good on the findings, everyone? Councilor Crosby, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I think there's an extra word, that's all. Literal compliance with the requirement of two parking stalls, not... Oh, never mind. It's just a long sentence.
Okay.
I guess it's okay.
All right. Conditions, Mr. Gruber? It's the standard accessory apartment conditions, common ownership, affidavit every year. Right. And the developers, you understand that's a requirement, and presumably you're going to convey that to any buyers so they're aware of it? Okay. Okay, anything else in the conditions, Mr. Gleba? Okay. All right.
I think Councilor Crossley was right. There was a word missing from...
Oh, you found the missing word?
I mean, I thought I was right the first time, and then I couldn't say it again.
It's just the next line down is, exception to would be in the public interest.
Oh,
the third line.
Correct. An exception to...
Thank you.
It? Or
an how about granting an exception would be in the public interest and get rid of the word to?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Gleba, do you see that three lines down in number six, the word to, four lines in from the right side of the page? Okay. Great. Thank you. Yes.
In the interest of protecting those sight lines and maintaining that condition, you wouldn't want to have somebody, for example, plant a six-foot hedge all the way up to either side of the driveway, right? So I'm just wondering if we can, I don't know that we're asking for any kind of review of a landscaping plan, but could we write a very simple condition minimizing the plantings that would be adjacent to the driveway?
Sure. So something like plantings adjacent to the driveway shall be kept at a height sufficient to allow for adequate sight lines from vehicles exiting or
like
entering
that.
The driveway?
Yeah. Yep.
Does that work?
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Greeley, you can do that for us?
Sure.
Okay. So I think you made the motion, Councilor Crosby. So we have a motion pending on this. All in favor of approval? 7 in favor, none opposed. It's approved. Best of luck, gentlemen. Hope your project goes smoothly. Attorney Morris, I'm going to take your matter up again. For the record, this is 263-16. And Attorney Morris, you've had an opportunity to chat with the neighbors.
We did, and I'm pleased to report that we are in agreement over the treatment of that. I rear lot mine, but I won't pretend to speak for Virginia.
If the neighbors, I left the public hearing open for a reason. Do you need or want to add anything? No need to. Could you just come up to the podium, sir? I'm sorry.
We appreciate them sharing their landscaping plans for us and also some lead time when the surveyor comes out to stake the lots so that we do have some time to react and everyone's human, things and mistakes can be made. We'd like a little time to react, that's all.
Wonderful, and I'm glad you've had an opportunity to chat with them. Thank you very much, sir. Anything else you want to add?
Thank you very much.
All right, great. Any other member of the public wish to be heard on this petition? Again, 263-16. Seeing none, it's Ward 8. Do you want to move to close the public hearing? Motion to close the public hearing by Councilor Lipoff. All in favor of closure? 7 in favor, none opposed. Do I have a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Councilor Lipoff. I'm sorry, Councilor Crosley, I acted too hastily.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a question that didn't come up in the report. I don't think I see it in here. And it's simple. I think at the last public hearing in conversation with the petitioner, we agreed to have some language, and I just don't, that would amend, I guess, the engineer's report or something to speak to oversight of construction in particular with respect to that very tall retaining wall. Do you remember that? And there was going to be some language added, and I don't know if that's in there yet.
Well, why don't we do this? Let's walk through the board order, and if
okay.
It's not there, you'll remind us and we'll add it in. I think Mr. Corin took the duties for this one last time, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Why don't we
see what's was here.
Why don't we see what's in the order and, okay. and we'll walk through it. Mr. Cleaver, do you have the findings for us?
Here are the findings.
So we'll just go through it slowly. Okay. Any on 1 and 2? Alright. Anything on 3? Okay. 4? In 4 you have the words are generally in keeping. I might want to use the word consistent. Or similar might be a better word.
Similar? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on 4, colleagues? Let's move on to 5. Okay. Everyone satisfied with 5? We didn't have findings, Mr.
Cleaver? Excuse me, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Condition number 4, I believe, is the first findings. I think that has the old retail rule, so it's 35.62.
And you corrected that for us. Would you make a note of that?
33.43 is in the report.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You'll fix that?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney Morris. Okay. More findings? Yep.
So,
go ahead, Councilor Crosley.
Is number 6 something we need? Because I'm not sure what it means, and I'm not,
I don't think we. I don't think we need this. Do we? I agree. I take it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure what we're trying.
Can we strike that, Mr. Cleaver?
Mr. Chair, I think wasn't there part of the conditions though that to consider was that additional list of conditions when at the rear lot included topographical changes. So I think that's probably why Neil had that in there.
Okay, so if you look at the site flows or the rear lot findings from the ordinance.
Problem with the word is topographical conditions with significant grade changes in several directions. I don't know what that means. I share Councilor Crosley's observation.
Well, one of the, if I can read from the original memo on page 3 of 7, second bullet point. This is a continuation from the previous page of, as the petition is requesting approval of a rear lot development in a residential zoning district, the City Council shall also consider the following additional criteria. The third criterion was topographic differentials, if any, between proposed buildings or structures in adjacent residential buildings.
So,
I think that's what he was trying to get at.
I understand. It's not the fact that those are... optional criteria, not optional, but there's a list and you want to address as many as you can. My question is not whether it's relevant to something we've discussed, but that in and of itself, number 6 has no meaning to me because I don't know what it means to appropriately address topography by the location of the proposed dwellings. And actually, one could have a conversation about that. You know, what is it you're trying to achieve? You know, what does that mean? You know,
perhaps it should read differently. Perhaps it should take on some more of the language of the not optional, but suggested condition, which is topographical differentials between proposed buildings and adjacent residential buildings.
Well, the truth is, the second building is at the top of a hill, and so it's going to be looking out over everything else, and that way it is completely distinct from everything else. So I'm not really sure.
I think the issue was that the because this is a question I raised during the hearing, I think that the answer to that concern is the distance between the proposed dwelling and the neighboring dwelling.
Well, why don't we say there's something
enough,
like there's...
They're far enough apart that the topographical differential doesn't create a concern.
You could still do that in the previous finding and eliminate this one, I think.
Let's go to 5 and see. Let's go back to 5, Mr. Cleveland, okay?
Actually, it's 4. It has to do with the ridgeline height.
Hold on. All right, the ridgeline. I think if you look at that, that covers the topography issue and that covers the distance issue.
Okay, should we cite at least D.1 and D.3 maybe?
That would be fine. Sure. Can we do that, Mr. Gleba? And then strike 6?
Sure.
Okay, let's go on to 7, please.
Not for nothing in 7. I mean, I think that's an interesting finding, and it'll be nice that there'll be plantings, but they are taking down a lot of trees to make this happen. And you have to do that, but when you put them back, they're never as big. They'll mature in about 50 years.
I mean, it depends what you're taking down and what you're putting up and how close they are. I mean,
on that point, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I suppose we're going to have a condition that the planning department's going to review a final planting plan.
We will.
Okay.
I would recommend it.
Because my concern is normally that things get planted too close together and they kill each other, basically. I mean, you put in a young tree, it needs a great big area to grow in. But in order to make up the caliper inches, they put in too many instead of just paying into the tree fund and putting in the right amount. So I would just suggest that we have a review of some kind by the appropriate personnel.
I'm fine with that. Those appropriate personnel, at least I don't think, include me or anybody else in this council.
No, planning department with the tree warden.
Can we say for this, the proposed landscape plan, rather than entails, I might say includes fencing and planting of trees and other vegetation, which will largely screen the new dwellings from abutting properties. I think that might be a better way of phrasing it. Is that okay, Councillor Schwartz?
Yeah, I don't think we have much leverage on this. It's just I just wanted to make that comment because that is one of the... I appreciate the petitioner's right to do this. I think that it's going to be a valuable addition to the housing stock. I'm sure those are all positives, but one of the negatives is that you lose a mature tree canopy, especially in an area like this where it's really quite...
Okay. 8. Okay. 9. Okay. And 10. Everyone okay with those findings? Okay. Conditions, Mr. Gleba?
Yeah.
Right. Utilities are undergrounded. I think the planning, the final landscape plan approved by the planning director. Do you want to say in consultation with the tree warden?
I think the planning department can use whatever resources they feel appropriate.
All right. Anything on these conditions? None. Next page, Mr. Grebe, anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
So for the next condition, these are the sources of the site for two dwellings that will be built. And the petition has expressed interest in being able to build a building in three of our permits for one house before the other. So this one would address that.
So are we comfortable as a committee with the idea that they could get a building permit and then a certificate of occupancy for one parcel, even if the other's not completed? That's what you're looking for, correct, Attorney Morris?
Well, again, I mean, so are we talking about not completed but cleared and sitting empty, or are we talking about not started on?
I do not know that the petition intends to take down the existing one before building.
What's the intent here, Attorney Morris?
My client informs us that the intent is to take down the house and clear both lots and then build on one. And then, upon that conclusion, start the other one. I would just remind the committee that, remember, the objective of this petition is to provide housing and residence for their extended family.
So the second one would be built when?
Immediately thereafter.
I mean, the concern I have on that is that you're going to have a construction project going on here on this site for perhaps a considerably longer time, which obviously impacts the neighbors.
Well, I think that, Mr. Chairman, that's one of the reasons why we have a construction management plan that applies throughout this process. And I would also say you recall that the location of this lot is building on the edge of an industrial district.
Well, not everybody's industrial next to Mr. Attorney Morris.
Yes.
What's the alternative to building one house and then the other, building them both at the same time?
I don't know. I'm asking the question. I mean, it might be you start some of the work and it's not all. I understand that you don't have to complete both at the same time, but you're going to be raising the property, doing one house and then the other. Is that the plan?
Okay, they have a house at the front, and they take that down, they build the one in the back, and then they build the one in the front. So you're not expecting to build the both at the same time.
Well, I think it's our responsibility at least to ask why they're asking for this particular exception. This is not the norm, so that's why. What is the norm in this case?
The norm that I've seen is where the existing front house is going to remain. It's not a question where it's going to come down. This is different in the sense that the existing house is coming down. I would point out the obvious, which is you don't have a time completion on a special permit for any of the projects you send through. So, you know, they can all start and linger as things come up typically. I'm not sure.
But why should we encourage that?
I'm not saying that you're not encouraging or discouraging it, but you can certainly understand where there are two building projects going on that the petitioner might want to delink and be able to have residency occur in one of the houses before the second house is completed.
So wouldn't we do that? I'm just a little bit confused. If this was not a demolition of an existing house, but say a renovation of an existing house and then a new rear lot subdivision, would we have the same request for an exemption?
I've never seen one that's actually been requested because typically, people, when they do a renovation, again, it depends on the extent of the renovation, but I've not been aware of a situation where there was a complete total demolition. It's not come up before.
In other words, what we typically have with a real life subdivision, we have an existing structure in the front that remains. Somebody's looking to put that second house in the back. It's just not an issue.
It's not an issue. And again,
I think I understand that. Councilor Crosley?
I'm just a little confused on this. What's the need for the request? I don't mean to be flip or anything. I just don't understand why you have to ask for this. Do we have some kind of legal requirement normally?
There was a concern that the way the board order is written that they would have to build both houses before they could get a certificate of occupancy on one. I would simply affirm what City Solicitor Rudy Young has said. This is the third rear lot subdivision that I've had before this committee and the City Council. The first two were preservation of the existing house, and this is different in that regard.
Yeah, and I'd also point out that what's interesting is there are certain aspects of these developments of two lots that do have to occur for the back lot to be developed that's going to infront the first lot. So, in a sense, there's a knitting together of some aspects of the developments of the lots that have to be accomplished at one point, and then you can build the two of them out. So it can get confusing.
Okay. I think what you're trying to get at, Attorney Morris, you want clarity so that there's no ambiguity when you go to get a certificate of occupancy.
Yes, thank you.
All right, okay. All right, I understand that now. Any questions or comments from the request?
Okay,
anything else in the conditions?
So there is one more condition, and this is related to the same topic. Before we get a CVO for either of the two, they even have to put in the stormwater and drainage system.
Okay, and that has to be done before you get one for either one.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Other comments or questions on this petition? We have a motion by Councilor Ripoff. I'm sorry, Councilor Crosley.
I guess I asked the planning and law departments. I think it was significant that, I think it is significant that we have this very massive retaining wall close to where this very large construction is going to happen. And I know there's a requirement for the construction management plan, but last time we met, it was suggested that the language requiring the construction management plan be slightly amended to highlight the need for structural evaluation and continued monitoring of the condition of the adjacent property.
Makes perfect sense to me. Is there any concern about adding that?
Attorney Morris, I take it that's something you can live with?
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my client only requested that engineering would provide some guidance in that respect.
Of course. Okay. You can draft an appropriate condition.
Okay.
Councilor Schwartz?
Can we just go back to number 7, condition 7? Or whatever correlates with 7H in the draft that we received. I don't know. About the construction management plan. Is that not in here anymore? I'm looking at the draft that came with our memo. There was a 7H that talked about construction management plan.
Also, the one that was handed out, the CMP shall address the following.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Mr. Schwartz, okay, which number are you looking at?
7H in our
draft. I have it here. We all have it in front of us.
I didn't see it on the board.
It was. I don't know if I applied for it.
Is it not in it anymore?
No, I know, but in the first slide, it was considered one of the construction management plan. So in the engineering report, so it suggests these conditions
right.
were part of the CMP. So it's right here.
And they are going to be part of the CMP?
Yeah.
In the conditions that are going to be in our board order.
Yes, because they're in this now.
Okay. What's up on the screen is just for highlights, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You all set with
okay,
that?
Okay, that's confusing, but okay.
I think what Mr. Kleber did is just highlighted some of the conditions and not include all the ones that he would consider more routine. And I think the CMP one would fall into that latter category.
Okay.
Okay, we good? Councilor Lipoff is a motion. All in favor of approval? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in favor. Any opposed? Abstentions? Councilor Schwartz abstains. So 6-0-1. Attorney Morris, should be all set. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, for your courtesy.
And thank you for taking the opportunity to chat with the neighbors. It was most productive. All right. Best of luck with your project. 313-16, special permit to allow a three-story single-family structure at 84 Roundwood Road, Richard Bliss and Christine Murphy. This is in Ward 5, Newton Upper Falls. Good evening, Ms. Murphy and Mr. Bliss.
Hello. So we bought the house a little bit less than...
Did you just change your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Address? Richard Bliss, 84 Roundwood Road.
Christine Murphy, 84 Roundwood Road.
So we purchased the house a little bit less than 2 years ago. And because of the topography, there's really no ability to expand horizontally. And because of the grade, the basement is now considered a story. So we have a two-story home. The basement is really not usable, livable space. And so we're seeking a special permit to go to three stories above the 2.5.
Good. Anything else you want to explain to us about the project, or is that summarized it appropriately?
I think we've stayed with the existing footprint. We have letters of support from all of the neighbors across the street and from our two side abutters.
Good. Thank you very much. Grab a seat. I'm sure we may not have some questions for you. Hold on. Mr. Kleber, you want to give us the overview?
Sure thing. Okay, so this is a story from an existing section, so they need a special permit to allow a three-story single-family structure. The criteria to consider whether this is an appropriate site for the expanded residence and whether it will adversely affect the neighborhood. So, contrast to the IS map showing this location in the residential neighborhood. And here's the site plan showing the lot, showing the location of the dwelling, as well as the grade of the backyard, and the location of the existing driveway and front walk. Here's some elevations. This is the front elevation. The lower portion in right is the end of the existing, and the traveling portion above would be the addition. And as you can see, it kind of presents as a two-story house to the street. This is the left elevation. Again, here we see it being a three-story structure due to the grade of the property. And then we get some outer space to the top. Here we have the right side, showing the same addition. And this is from the rear, and again, this is the street, this is the backyard. And this is the vertical and the three-story structure, and then from the rear. And that's it.
Great, thank you. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Alright, seeing none, do I have a motion to close the public hearing? It's in Ward 5. Councilor Quadley's moved to close the public hearing. Why don't you ask your question and then we'll move to close the public hearing. How's that?
This is right up the hill from me, and I don't have any problem with what you're trying to do. It's very straightforward. I'm just curious. I noticed your original house has...
Come on up to the podium if you would,
or
please.
...has a steeper pitched roof. It has an 8 and 12 pitched roof, and you're going to... a much flatter roof.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering why you're doing that. The print is really tiny,
sure.
So I'm not sure if you're just right up against your height restriction.
No, I mean, I think we have a few feet left on the height, but I think partially it was to reduce the profile from the street. I don't think the current pitch is quite 8-12.
Well, just that's by eye, because I looked at the
I think it's probably about a 7, and we're probably looking at a 6 or a 5. And honestly, as someone who's been up on a lot of roofs to clear snow and do other things, I prefer a little bit flatter pitch.
Either the snow slides off quickly.
Well, but if it doesn't,
so let's give some discretion to the homeowner, please.
I understand. It's just, you know, it's nice in New England to have a steeper pitch roof. But that's it.
I'm happy to go if we go.
I can't make you do that. I just want to allow you to do it.
Okay.
You have a design suggestion here, but I think it's up to you what to do.
So if you prove this, like, as it is, can the petitioner make the roof steeper if he so chooses, as long as he's within the height restriction?
I don't see why not.
I just don't know. I mean, how...
I think if there was some deviation and there was a question, they would come to us in a consistency ruling. I wouldn't have a problem finding that consistent.
Yeah, okay. It's a proportionality thing. I can't help myself. Never mind.
All right.
So, yes,
with that, anything else?
Move to close the public
All
hearing.
All right, grab the seat, folks.
And approve the petition.
Let's move to close the public hearing. First, Councilor Crosley, move to close the public hearing. All in favor? 7 in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Of a motion to approve, Councilor Crosley?
So moved.
All right. May I have a draft board order, please?
Okay, here are the proposed findings.
Okay, any comments for number one? I might just say, from a drafting point of view, I might put the parenthetical about the section at the end of the sentence, please, Mr. Grieber. Okay. All right. Any comments on 2A, B, or C? Seeing none, Mr. Gruber, you want to move us to any other findings? None?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the conditions are standard ones. Okay. We have a motion by Councilor Schwartz.
I just want to make a comment, which is that it's rare that a petitioner comes in and doesn't try to max out the dimensions, and I just want to congratulate this particular petitioner for putting together a project that doesn't raise any of those concerns that we often have.
All right. Duly noted. Thank you. All right. With all that said, motion by Councilor Crosley, all in favor. 7 in favor, none opposed. This is approved. It will get taken up on the 7th of November. There's no need for you to attend at that time. Any questions at all, please talk to our committee clerk. Best of luck with your project. Thank you. Last but not least, a project that is before us for the second time, 262-16 special permit petition to increase the non-conforming setback at 112-114 Carlisle Street. Michael Vahey and Mok Jing Peng and Carlisle Street Development LLC, 112-114 Carlisle Street, Ward 6. Mr. Vahey, is that correct? Good evening, sir. I understand you've made some changes to the project since you were last here. Maybe it'd be best if you could give us a quick overview of what those are. We'll hear from our planning department, entertain any questions from community members, and then proceed. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we had met on last Monday, the 17th, with Alexandra Nass and Neil Cronin from the planning department. They walked me through some of the issues that were brought up during our first meeting, one of which was the perception of mass. Well, the way we addressed that was we removed some of the ornamental gables that were on the front of each unit, as well as toned down the ornamentation on the gable that goes over the garage. We also reduced the connecting roof from the 114 unit to the garage by 6 inches. And we also, they also asked us to look at the parking, the width of the driveway. So we reduced it from the requested 36 feet, which would have been, you know, 4 across. Down to 30 feet, which is the width of the garage structure itself. And that would allow some leeway to get in, given that it's not a deep space and it's coming off a private way. The other item, I believe, that came up after we had done that revision was one of the counselors had expressed that they still have an issue with the parking depth, and so we tried to address the depth of the parking potentially by indenting the first story of the garage by 1.5 feet, which would increase the outside space from 16 foot depth to 17.5. That still gives us parking in the garage sufficient and increases the depth, obviously, to address the concern.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there anything else you want to bring to our attention?
No. I you know, as you know, it's a very narrow space.
Mm-hmm.
It borders the wetlands. We've tried to work with the planning and conservation to address all the needs, and we feel we have a good balance, and it'll be a good addition.
Good. Thank you very much. Don't go too far. Thank you, sir. Mr. Gleba, do you want to add anything, recalling that we've seen this before?
Yeah.
Maybe we can focus on the changes they've made.
Exactly.
That's most helpful.
So I think the site plan shows the now 30-foot wide driveway. As discussed, the petition also submitted the clear section showing how the attic is at a height that makes it not a habitable space. And I believe it touched upon the issues discussed here.
Okay. A question for the petitioner that I have. Will you now, with this reduction in the width of the driveway, will a car still be able to park in the driveway and a second car access and exit the garage itself?
I think the standard width of a car is around, you know, 6 feet. So it would be possible if we'd be tight, but it would allow I think there would be some room in order to offset the one car so that the other car could move out of the driveway. It might be difficult if there were multiple cars in the outdoor
space. I'm trying to exercise. My question is a practical one because you're on a private way there. We try to keep cars off the street if possible. So the question is, if you park two cars in the garage, you park two cars in the driveway, will the cars in the garage be able to exit safely while those other two cars are parked in the driveway?
I believe that they would.
Okay.
I think obviously the standard for parking spaces is rather wide. You have the requirement is a 9-foot wide space.
Yep.
So, but I believe most cars could probably get out of that smaller 30-foot wide driveway.
Okay. Counselor, let me just, before we do that, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? All right, seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. Motion to close the public hearing by Councilor Schwartz, all in favor. 7 in favor, none opposed. Councilor Clarkley.
A problem with how decisions were prioritized here on this project. So given, it's a tight, narrow site. It's a multifamily zone. You're allowed to have two units. The desire for the particular program is coming, however, from the petitioner. Okay, so we always know that. So
sure.
In the early stages of this design, and it's complicated by the conservation, that he's slightly within the 100-foot buffer, which is not... And it's done all the time. It's just done with controls. I mean, you're not supposed to go ever within 25 feet, and that's significant to what I want to say. So there were various determinations made and priorities established. I have never seen a petition come before us while I've been here where we have prioritized things in this way so that we would ask both for a waiver of the 5-foot setback to the parking stall and for a waiver of the size of the parking stall. And this was completely missed in early reviews. So, and I think that as a matter of policy and good planning, we should never do this again. Because, I mean, we don't know who's going to live somewhere over time. Ever, whether it's a developer or an owner. We don't know how they're going to park. We don't know if they're going to have a pickup truck or an SUV or a Mini Cooper. You know, so we have certain standards, and I think, and the standards are about the safety of the pedestrian way. So I'm glad the petitioner has reduced to 30 feet the curb cut. I think that's still very large for a residential property. But I've heard everything. I don't think... You know, if a property is tight and so the buildings have to be smaller and so you have to park in tandem, that's just part of the deal. But now you're going to have a 19.5-foot space clear inside the garage and a 17.5-foot space clear to the street. That's very tight. So I just want to say that. I'm glad the petitioner has agreed set the face of the garage back because you don't have to have a garage that's 22 feet deep. You can have a garage that's 20 feet deep. And it's done all the time and it's perfectly a reasonable thing if you have to hold to that 15-foot setback. So there was a lot of interplay here. But I think my concern, and I went had a long talk with the petitioner twice, and I don't hold him accountable for... You know, how he was guided. I had a long talk with Alexandra today. And I put this out there really strongly because I think, you know, we don't have a rule for everything. When we're asked to grant waivers, you know, sometimes they come in bunches. And sometimes, in this particular case, the two waivers back to back threaten an unsafe situation. And I just want to be really careful about that going forward.
All right. Fair enough. Comments, questions from anybody else? Councilor Schwartz?
Well, I just wanted to mention that some of my concerns that I raised at the last meeting were addressed, and I was thankful to the petitioner for working with planning on that and also trying to address some of the concerns that, Alderman Coffey, sorry, Councillor Coffey raised. And I did have a conversation with the petitioner. I just want to make that clear at his request by phone. And, you know, I think that one of the concerns that I had was the 1 foot setback that we're maintaining, and I know that there was a question to legal about that last time. I don't know what the answer to that is per se. Perhaps for the future that would be interesting to know, but in this particular case, I think because of the narrowness of the lot and the conservation land on the other side, this is not more substantially detrimental than the current, and there actually is an improvement on the side that's towards the conservation land, which is a significant improvement, which I think is worth our noting.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll be moving approval when the proper time comes.
Well, any other questions, Councilor Crosley?
All right, I forgot to state, although maybe it's clear to everyone, the plans that we have now do not reflect the 1.5 foot diminishing of the depth of the garage. And so I don't know if we want to do this with a condition or...
Well, I think you're going to have substitute plans. Or
substituted plans and second vote approved subject to second call.
Yeah, I did deliver, as you know, I think on the yesterday,
okay,
showing the decreased depth. From looking down on the building, you still have a 22 feet, it's that the first floor is indented 1.5, so that the interior dimension of the garage is now 19.5, and the exterior dimension would be 20.5 on that first floor.
So, just a question, can that be reflected on the site? Can the setback specifically to that front wall of that garage be noted on your site plan, or do you want to note it on your preliminary site plan or somewhere where it is evident that that is where that has to be?
Yes, I believe on the several pages that we submitted, it would be shown that there is this additional 1.5 foot that was submitted, you know, to the city clerk and to the committee yesterday.
Okay.
Well, would you like to move this subject to second call, Councilor Crosley, or not?
I know we got them on email.
Do you have the
revised documents in hand?
So the revised document I have is dated October 20th.
No, there would be something after that.
Why don't we do this, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to move this what's called subject to second call, which means ordinarily it allows for debate on a particular proposal. I think what Councilor Crosley is suggesting is we do that as a mechanism to make sure that between now and that date, the planning department and any interested councilor, including Councilor Crosley, gets to look at the revised plans that you've already submitted, sir. And assuming they are as you represent, and we have no reason to doubt that, then we'll just approve this on what's called first call, which is part of a much more routine vote. Okay?
Okay.
If there's any questions, I'm sure Councilor Crosley would reach out to the petitioner if she has any particular questions. Mr. Gruber, the same. If you have any questions about what he submitted today,
mm-hmm,
reach out to him well before our vote. Okay? Councilor Schwartz?
Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify because I was going to be the one moving this. So are you saying that the documents haven't been received by planning, or they have been received but just not...
They're not in front of us right now. They came in via email, and Mr. Gruber doesn't have them in front of him.
Okay, because the other way to do it would just be to pass it, and then we could always put it on second call if those don't end up being available.
I would prefer to put it on second call, and I'll just poll the committee that evening.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward. We did that, I think, 3 times last meeting. you want to move this, Councilor Schwartz?
Sure, I move approval.
All right, so I have a motion by Councilor Schwartz to approve. Do Again, if you could put the parentheticals of the numbering at the end of the paragraph, Mr. Cleve, I think that reads better. I'm not sure I'd add the design will utilize the length of the lot by building to the rear lot line. I'm not sure that's actually a great finding. I think it's better simply to say because the design will preserve the additional streetscape and will be set further back from the front property line. I would take out that fourth line. Other comments on number one? Sure.
Just to clarify, I thought it was the same. Is it not the same setback? It's an increase in the length of it, or is it the setback itself? I don't think you can. So it's a foot already. So that's an increase.
We are continuing a non-conforming condition by lengthening.
It goes further back. So we're it's the same setback, but it goes back for further distance.
So is it not an extension or a lengthening of the non-conforming front setback?
So it might be helpful to look at the site plans.
I have.
I think we could say that use the word extension.
Yeah, this is the existing structure. Where the existing structure is closer to the lot line than what's proposed. But you can see this.
It's the same distance.
Mr. Chairman, what I have in my packet is different from what's up on the board.
What do you
and
have?
I think maybe better. This is 262.16. I don't
have...
Let's
take a look.
Right? So, it's 1, and then there's ABC under 1, which begins with the existing non-conforming front setback has existed on site since 1910, when the original structure was built. And then the design will utilize the... The second one is the same thing. We should modify it. B and C...
Yeah, that was what was in our package.
Yeah, it's clearer, I think, although I think B needs to be modified.
I'm sorry, is what's on the screen just a summary or is it specific? Because what we have in our package, both on this one and the last one, is not exactly the same as what's on the screen, Michael.
So the findings.
No, let's go to the site plan just had up there, Mr. Cleva. Is that what was in our packet?
That's the existing.
That's the existing. That's what's there now.
Okay. And you're saying, Councilor Clauser, there's something different in our packets?
No, this is the current. The board order is different.
The board order is different than what was in our packet.
It's completely differently than what we saw up on the screen. It's a number one with 3 points, A, B, C.
Again, I think it's a summary.
Yeah, so I presume you have summarized the findings into this format.
Right. What I'm going to suggest, though, going forward, Mr. Cleva, if you're going to have findings, I appreciate you trying to cut them down for us, but I think we'd really like to see what is in the board order on the screen so we can follow it. That would be more helpful. So does everyone have in their packet the proposed board order? Let's work off that rather than what's on the screen. Okay? So the number one is the proposed increase in the non-conforming setback is not substantially more detrimental because A, the existing non-conforming front setback has existed. I think on-site ought to be two words, please, Mr. Cleva.
Don't need it.
Pardon?
Just say existed.
Since
you take that on-site.
Existed since 1910. We don't need the word on-site. When the original structure was built, the design will utilize...
That's the one you didn't...
Yes.
Eliminate B. I don't see why we need it.
I agree. I would get rid of B entirely, Mr. Gleba.
Mm-hmm.
I think C is a fair... is it keeps the structure away or is outside the conservation area? What's a more accurate statement there?
I would say positions the structure substantially away from.
That's one of your words you like, substantially.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, the structure is within the 100-foot buffer zone. But like I said, people build inside the 100-foot buffer zone all the time. It just means you have to be controlled by Conservation Commission.
Is mindful or respectful of the conservation? Or?
That strikes me as a word we ought to stay away from.
It really is substantially set back. So, I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
How about keep the structure away?
We can. Maybe we'll just leave
like hiding, like what?
You know, I think in this,
I don't know
what substantial. I think I'd offer the word substantially in this instance, even though I don't really like it generally. If that's okay with the committee. Yes. Okay. The proposed waivers to allow reduced stall depth. This now is consistent with what's in here. Hate to quibble, but in B, I'm not sure THRU is a word, although maybe the...
From the Old English.
Maybe the American Heritage Dictionary says yes, but I'd check that, please. Yes, Councilor.
So, sorry, yeah. So on number two, should we identify the depth of the stall? The proposed waivers to allow reduced stall depth to 17.5 feet. Something to identify the restriction?
I think that's a good idea, Councilor Clavering. Okay. Anything else in the findings for two? Okay. There are no other findings and then conditions, Mr. Cleave, anything of note?
Standard.
Okay. Did you want to add any other conditions? Did you add some note, Councilor Clavering?
I do need to add one thing. I'm sorry, 3A. The new condition will be that the petition restore Carlisle Place to its state prior to construction.
How about restore Carlisle Place to its existing condition prior to construction? Okay. Anything else on the conditions? I see none. We have a motion by Councilor Schwartz. We have a proposed order. All in favor? 7 in favor, none opposed. You're through. It will be subject to second call, but again, my anticipation is we will take this up on first call on Tuesday, on Monday the 7th. Okay? Best of luck with your project, sir. Thank you. And with that, at 8:54, we are adjourned. Thank you all.